Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father, and through the risen, living, and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to the concluding verses of our gospel lesson for today, beginning at verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, time continues to go swiftly by. Seems like only yesterday we were here celebrating the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, and now here it is already a week later. But as I said then, it's still Easter, as each and every Sunday worship is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the tomb. 7 days. That's the same length of time between the first time Jesus appeared to his disciples when they were gathered together behind closed doors on Easter night, and when he appeared to them again when they were gathered together behind closed doors a week later, as we heard in our gospel. What did Jesus do in those 7 days between Easter and the second Sunday of Easter? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. What did his disciples do? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that either. One thing we do know, that when the disciples who had seen Jesus on Easter night told Thomas, who hadn't been there, "We have seen the Lord," he didn't believe them. And he said, "I need to see Jesus with my own eyes." For Thomas, seeing is believing. And for centuries, he's been known by a moniker that he probably never even thought that until time immemorial he would be known by: Doubting Thomas. Now we, of course, have not seen Jesus' glorified body either. But we do not doubt its reality, do we? We do not deny the truth that Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead took place. It proves he's God, proves our resurrection from the dead, and proves that our sins have all been paid for. On Easter, we heard Peter say, "Though you have not seen him," and we had these words repeated today, "you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy." Thomas believed only after he saw Jesus in the flesh a week later. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus on the basis of God's word. And it is that latter that Jesus commends. And so we say then, faith without sight is faith on the word of God. Well, see, first of all, that Jesus granted his disciples an early appearance so that they would know, indeed, he had risen from the dead. But then Jesus also shows that such a sight is not the basis for faith. For whatever reason, the Apostle Thomas was not present with the other apostles and disciples in that room when Jesus appeared and was present among them in an early visitation on Easter Sunday night. There's really nothing in the Bible that indicates that Jesus had any contact at all with his disciples during the 7 days between those two Sundays. In his perfect knowledge, Jesus no doubt knew what Thomas had said. Jesus knew that Thomas had told the others that unless I see him with my own eyes, I will not believe. Unless I can take my hands and literally thrust them into his side, I will not believe. So when the next week came and Jesus stood once again in the midst of his disciples, and Thomas was there this time, Jesus, knowing what Thomas had said, turned Thomas' words right back on him. Whether Thomas actually ever touched Jesus is something that Christian intellectuals have been debating about since the second century. The Bible doesn't say, actually, that Thomas did what Jesus invited him to do. Finally, it doesn't matter, because Thomas saw Jesus with his eyes. And then he believed. And then he confessed of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Our Lord did not condemn Thomas for his faith by sight. He simply stated the fact, because you have seen me, you have believed. But now Jesus is going to go on and make the point that faith that is based on sight really is not faith at all. Faith is built rather on something that we cannot see or something that we haven't seen yet. The writer to the Hebrews fleshes out this idea a little bit more when he wrote in chapter 11, verse 1, now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. What do we hope for? We hope for heaven. We hope for our mansion at the right hand of God, but we do not see it. We have not seen the glorified body of Jesus Christ with the nail prints in his hands and in his feet and the spear wound in his side. But even though we have not seen him, we love him and we believe in him. We don't see the good in pain. We don't see the good in trials and tribulations. And yet, don't God's words give us wonderful strength? All things work together for the good of those who love God. We don't see the empty tomb, but we believe that it's empty. Genuine faith is believing in what we can't see. Faith is also, at times, not believing our eyes. Maybe seeing something and trying to draw a rational conclusion about that, only to discover that it's completely something different. That the Lord has a different purpose or a different meaning for that thing in our lives. Now, does this mean that our faith in Christ's resurrection and life has no basis just because we haven't seen it? Are we to consider the arguments of those who have no reality unless they can actually see it with their eyes or touch it with their hands? Absolutely not. Even though we cannot see what we believe in, does not mean that our faith is groundless. It doesn't mean that it's the same thing as a shot in the dark or a hope for the best. It is something certain and sure because our faith is based on the sure Word of God. Faith that is sightless is faith based on God's Word. Jesus went on to define faith in his resurrection and all of God's realities when he says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The Apostle John wrote down what Jesus said because that's important and he wanted us to know it. And John then goes on to write some very important words about why the Bible was written and why we use it and what it's for. Some of these words are familiar to us as we once in a while sing them in a particular liturgy that we use. Remember when we have the scripture readings and right before the gospel we sing, "These words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John said that I and the other apostles and the prophets, we've written down the things that Jesus said and did so that you'll believe in him, so that you'll trust that he is who he says he is, and he's accomplished what he came to accomplish. And then you have certainty in that. Jesus did so many miracles, so many wonders, so many signs, which are really the same thing, just a little bit different look at them. A miracle is something that's not natural. A wonder is something that elicits awe in those who see it, and a sign is something that points to something, to Jesus, and says, "He is God. He is the Messiah. He is your Savior." There's so many of those things that Jesus did that we couldn't have possibly, and I did not, write them all down in this book. But these are written. He is risen. He paid for your sins on the cross. He lives to rule over all things. I have written those things so that you will know your Savior from sin, and that your sins have all been paid for, and God has declared you not guilty of all your sins, and there is a place reserved in heaven for you. And here we find in Jesus' words the answer to why the Bible was written. Let's look first at why it wasn't written. It wasn't written as a rule book to give rules and regulations that you can follow to be a good person or please God enough to get into heaven. The Bible is not the script of some great morality play that if we read it and follow it, that we'll be moral people and we'll see that that's what God wants, and by doing that, that we will be in his good graces and do things that are pleasing to him. The Bible was not written as a roadmap for self-help. It was not written as a plan to follow to make the world a better place in which to live. The Bible was written for one purpose: to reveal to you, a sinner, and to me, that our sins damn us, and the righteousness of Christ his obedience to the law that he offered on the cross as a sacrifice has paid for all of our sins. There is a somewhat notable amateur theologian who once said, "There is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit, and no better text than God's Word." So says Linus, in a kind of a cute comic. But the young man, though hardly theological depth, is right, isn't he? There is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. There is no better text to read and to meditate upon than God's Word. Our faith rests on that Word of God because we trust its clarity. We trust its veracity. We trust that it cannot be broken, Jesus says, which means that it can't be changed. It can't be altered or taken apart and put back together incorrectly like some bizarre jigsaw puzzle. You and I do not have to see Jesus' glorified body with the nail marks and the spear wound. We don't have to thrust our hand into Jesus' side in order to know that he is risen, in order to know that he is my Savior, and that through faith in him, I will spend eternity at God's right hand. I don't really like calling Thomas Doubting Thomas. I rather like to call him Believing Thomas, who said, "My Lord and my God," and knew that his Savior was there with him. Was his faith pure? Did he really get it when he first said that? No, because he thought faith was by sight, but in love, Jesus set him on the right path. Jesus set him in the right direction to stop looking with his eyes and start looking into the Word of God. Dear brothers and sisters, please heed Jesus' imperative as well. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Then, without sight, you will see and be blessed as you believe. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.